This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steering, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huff & Sons Funeral Homes, Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. CTI Tech, bringing 1-gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And Garrell's Auto Body and Repair. And now, Sports Saturday with Tim Mize.
All right, Levi Ubell, thank you so much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. It's going to be a fun show here as we have in studio with us Litchfield girls soccer coach Dominique Bias. We're going to talk with Dominique about Litchfield's regional championship last night as they beat Auburn 2-1. We're also going to catch up later on in the hour with Carlinville soccer coach Tim Johnson. They're getting set to play Staunton this morning in that regional final, so we'll bring you that conversation later on in the hour. And we've got Dave Kane from the Springfield State Journal Register lined up around 9:30 this morning. So a jam-packed show here on FM 106 on the 11th day of May. Dominique Bias, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Well, last night, Litchfield won their 6th regional in the last 7 years, but for you, it was your first regional in your second year on the job, so I'm sure there was a range of emotions.
Yes, there was. It brought back a lot of memories from my past, too, and I'm very proud of the girls. They make me very happy. They work their tails off. They did everything that we needed to execute, and they brought it home, so very proud.
And you were telling me before we went on, young team. So, you know, the future is bright, but you have to live in the moment. So
yes.
it had to be really gratifying and satisfying to see those kids have that moment last night.
It was because, you know, last year we were very young. I had no seniors. I had freshmen, sophomores playing the entire time. I had one junior starting. I had another junior, Greta Filming. She was out. And, you know, we had to build back up. Because the year before, we lost quite a few seniors. And this year, I knew they had to find it, play together, work together. They're finally executing the way they need to. And they've been doing wonders. Working together on the field. A lot of the girls, it seems like, don't know their potential. And they're finally finding it. So, and that's where I think the success is finally coming out. And it's finally showing. So we take it day by day. And, you know, just get out there and do it. So.
And a lot of times, you know, underclassmen, younger kids, they don't, like you said, they don't recognize how good they can be.
Mm-hmm.
And once that is realized, look out.
Yes, exactly. I've got, you know, Maddie Diamond up top. She knows she's fast. She knew she was fast on the team. She is my fastest player. But I don't think she realizes her ability with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's finally finding that. Carly Cruz, Jordan Morgan in the middle, they're my central mid. They have learned how to execute together to get that ball up. And finally, we got Greta Fleming back. She's got some speed up there, too. Her and Maddie work really well together. You know, those four girls right there, they make things happen in the midfield. And they're young. I mean, two of Jordan Morgan, she's a junior. Carly and Maddie are only sophomores. So I'm pretty excited for the future.
As you should be. It's very excited. You guys will be playing in the Litchfield section, which that's exciting. And it's always nice when you get a sectional tournament and you wind up playing in
mm-hmm.
that sectional
I
tournament.
I know. I'm so excited for that. It's going to be really fun to come back on our home field. We're starting off, you know, Wednesday night. And we play St. Teresa. Super exciting. I know they're a good team, but we're going to come and compete. So.
And you guys should be battle-tested because the South Central Conference this year was loaded top to
mm-hmm.
bottom.
It was, definitely. You know, we are a small town. We talked about that before we began. And, you know, sometimes we're underestimated. Mm-hmm. So, and the girls, you play the way you practice. You got to want it. I tell them that all the time. You know, when we have bad games, it's going to happen. We're going to have good games, and you have to learn from it. We've had practices where we spent an hour, you know, consistently working on one thing that we've got to fix to be successful, and I'm proud of them. They've came out. They're moving the ball finally the way we need to move it, the way, you know, to play soccer. Yeah. They come out and they play soccer, and they're finally, like I said, they're finding themselves. They're realizing their potential. So I'm super excited for this game, and I'm excited for the future.
Talking with Dominique Byatt, the Litchfield soccer coach, getting set to play in the sectional tournament coming up next week. And, of course, you came from a strong soccer tradition playing at Carlinville, then played your collegiate soccer at Blackburn. So you were familiar with Litchfield because you obviously played them as part of the South Central Conference. Carlinville has a rich history. Litchfield has a rich history. So once you got involved with the Litchfield program, you knew that they had soccer talent.
Mm-hmm.
But was there anything that you learned once you were around the kid that's like, okay, I understand now why they've been successful?
Yes, it's kind of surreal for me because, you know, I'm from Carlinville. You know, we were very successful in my time, and I am so happy to be able to show the girls the things that need to happen to be successful. And, you know, we had lost. When I first was the assistant, we had lost a number of girls, and, you know, I knew last year we had a number of girls come in that are going to be our future of soccer. And, you know, working with them and showing them, here, look, this is what you can do. This is how you're going to be successful. They're proving it now. And it's exciting for me that I can show and give them what I know and what I feel and my love for soccer and put it into them. So that's the most exciting part for me. And that's why it's so surreal.
Were there things that you learned playing collegiately that help you coach at the high school level?
Yes. You know, I went to school for sports management. That's my major. So I took a lot of sports classes, and I played. So, and I know what kind of coach I want to be. I know the type of coach that, you know, through the good and the bad, and how to pick your team up. We were very successful in high school. And in college, you know, it's different. It's a whole different ball game. So I know what it's like to be down and lose. I know what it's like to be, you know, to be winning and up there. So I know the workaround, and I know what it takes, and that's the thing. I think these girls are finally realizing it and all the work they put in. And, again, like I say, you play the way you practice, and at practice, if they're not giving it their all, you know, that's it's going to show. And they work hard in practice, and then it shows out in the, on that field. So
what do you like to focus on in practice? Is it more fundamental-based, strategy-based? How do you like to work that?
So mid-season, a couple of our games, I realized, okay, we have got to work on moving the ball more. And finally, I've got the girls in my midfield from Carson Jackson, Carly Cruz, Devin Morgan, Jordan Morgan, Ellen Fleming, Izzy Ray. Those girls, I've had to help them to learn from defense with Sydney Hill, one of my best defenders, Jordan Ramey, Audrey Fisher, she's only a freshman, from those girls clearing that ball out to the midfield, and then my midfield realizing what they've got to do with it and how we've got to work it. Because for a while there, we were a little, you know, wishy-washy with it, and I was like, okay, I've got to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you know, they've made me so proud in these last few games that we have played because it's showing. It's showing. It's more fundamental, little things that it's we've got to take. They've got the talent, the athleticism's there, but they've got to just, you know, do it. And that's an, you know, that's why I think we've gotten to where we are.
And from a coach perspective, that has to be nice whenever you can see kind of that light bulb light mm-hmm. up as like, they get it.
That's
now.
It. There you go. Yes, it's exciting. So, pretty happy.
Talking with Dominique Byatt here, the Litchfield girls soccer coach. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more with Dominique following these messages on WSMI. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, talking with Litchfield soccer coach Dominique Byatt. And Dominique, let's go back to your playing days a little bit at Carlinville and kind of talk about how that helped you in your role now, because, you know, as a coach, You don't have to have played and been a good player to be a good coach, but boy, does it help.
Yes, it does. It was funny on Facebook this morning. I had one of my old teammates. She was like, doesn't it bring back memories? And I was like, yes, it does, because my sophomore year, if I recall right, we had never won regionals before, and we were the first team to win regionals, and it was just that feeling and the surrealness of that for now. It's amazing. And these girls, you know, yeah, we didn't win regionals last year. We had won five in a row. And it was, well, yeah, it was just, it was crazy. You know, we had won so many. And then, yeah, last year we lost. We didn't, you know, we didn't get it. And then this year we came back. You know, we came back and we're like, okay, we're back. We're ready again. So.
And so, like, you know, the young girls are on your team now. They grew up just Litchfield soccer. We're going to win a regional.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes losing something that you think is rightfully yours can be great motivation.
It is. It is. And, you know, I know what it's like to be them. And Chris knows what it's like, my assistant, to be them. And so when they're successful, it's so exciting. And we're like, you know, it's emotional. After Maddie scored that final goal last night, I was tearing up. And they know, the girls will make fun of me because I'm so emotional. But I'm like, I love it. This is what I'm here for. This is what I live for through you girls. You know, it's your success makes me happy and proud.
And that's why they're going to play hard for you, because they know, wait a minute, Coach Bias is invested in this.
Yeah.
She wants it as bad, maybe even more than we do, so we need to take it up and go get it.
Sometimes I feel like it. Sometimes I'm yelling on the sideline trying to pick them up. I'm like, come on, I got to get that fire in you. You know, there's times where they get down, and, you know, something happens. But I'm like, girls, pick yourself back up. Pick yourself up. And that's where I try to be motivational. And I try to get them to realize, hey, we're going to fail sometimes, but you've got to learn from it and you've got to fix it. Because if you don't fix it, you're not going to be successful. And I think they realize the passion and love at first. I think, you know, me coming in, they're like, okay, how's she going to be? They were really excited to have me. I know that. But it's a matter of them realizing who I am as a coach and me finding myself as their coach too. And I think they see that. And that's where, you know, again, our success is finally showing of what we can be and what we will be for the future.
Well, I can tell your personality is infectious, and you can't trick high school kids. You know, like, you can't go in there and fake it and try to be try to be rah-rah, but you're not really rah-rah. Kids see that. And if they recognize, wait a minute, Coach isn't being real with me, they're not going to give you everything. But when they know, okay, she's all in, so am I.
It's funny you say that, because, you know, I'm silly with the girls. I try to, you know, be a friend to them, but there's a line drawn with it. And they don't, sometimes my facial expressions, they think I'm serious. Like I told them this morning, we're having practice at 6 a.m., and some of them looked at me and they're like, and I'm like, you guys know I'm kidding. They're like, well, we never know with your face. I'm like, well, yeah,
That's fun.
I try to make it fun. You know, it's, in all seriousness, it's, you know, these girls, I mean, yeah, we're dealing with 19 teenage girls.
Right.
So it gets stressful. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're the team. We're the family together. You know, we want to strive for, you know, I want them to be the best that they can be. So, yeah.
Nice championship. 6 a.m. We're running steps.
I know. Well, they know I love my suicides.
But, you know, with soccer, it's such a physical game in terms of the endurance that you have to have. So being in shape is the number one thing.
Yeah, and preseason, I give them workouts to do. And I think that has been the biggest part of them being ready to go, because, you know, we don't want to be trying to train and run and build our endurance up, you know, and wasting our first 2 weeks. So I give them these workouts, and 90% of the girls go. There's some that are in other events. A lot of them, like Sydney Hill, she's in band. That girl is constantly, she wears me out, and I'm a busy girl. You know, it's so them doing the preseason workouts is detrimental for us, because, you know, we come in the first 2 weeks. OK, you're ready. Here we go. We've got to start working on soccer now. And that's, I make them run. They look at me sometimes. I can tell in their faces. They're like, oh my God, we've got to run again. Yes, you're going to run because that's what soccer, you're 80 minutes. Most of you are spending the entire 80 minutes on that field. So, you know, you're going to run.
Yeah, you have to. Otherwise, you're not going to play.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's, if you're not in shape, you can't play them. So once they realize that, like I've always said about track and field. Running is the whole point. Mm-hmm. There's no ball. So it's just running.
Yeah.
But with the other sports, you run to get in shape to go chase the ball.
I know. That's exactly. And the girls know it. And I tell the, I have a parent meeting at the beginning and I tell them, I say, you know, if they're going to put in the work, they're going to play.
Yeah.
And, that's the thing. If they're not showing it, you're going to sit on the sideline. I'm sorry, but, and most of these girls, you know, I see girls that were sitting, didn't start, didn't really get much playing time, and they actually put in the effort, and they see it, and it shows, you know, and I'm like, awesome job, you know. That's where I've got girls that didn't start last year that are starting this year and play an entire 80 minutes. So you just never know. If you don't put in the work, you know, you're not going to find yourself and not going to find that playing time.
Let's talk a little bit about the game that you had against your alma mater this year. Obviously, Cromwell went perfect in the league. They had to beat Southwestern in the regional to actually win the conference. So that's a little bit of a strange dynamic. But they beat you guys 4-1. Was there anything you took out of that game where it's like, okay, we need to fix this, this, and this if we want to get where we want to go?
That's exactly. So, yes, that game, you know, of course, it's my hometown. Mm-hmm. I want to win. But, you know, and I know all these girls. I actually ref soccer. So I know all the surrounding towns, and I see these girls all the time. We were tied up 1-1 going in the second half, and I told the girls, I'm like, I'm so proud of you. Keep going. You know, this is your game. You can win this game. Well, we had a couple mistakes, and I, you know, like I told you before, I try to pick them back up, but you know what? Sometimes when you're falling, and I knew exactly what we needed to fix. We weren't moving the ball. We were kind of flat-footed, but our defense always continues to keep going. Very proud of them. They don't ever stop. And that's where our midfield would get it, but we wouldn't connect right, and that's where I had to fix it. And that's where, you know, I was saying mid-season, kind of in between, we were like, okay, what do we got to do to fix this and make things happen? And that's where practice came in after that game, after the Cromwell game. I think it really, like, triggered them to, like, okay, yep, coach, you're right. We've got to do something here. And they have. They've been very successful with it. So there's a few things we've been working on constantly. You know, we spend an hour on one Saturday morning doing this and that, and I'm like, we're just going to keep doing this, girls, until you get it because it's going to become a habit.
I'm a soccer novice. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say anything else. So controlling the midfield, is that the best way to control the game?
Honestly, yes. Once our defense gets it and they clear it up or make a pass to one of our midfield's the ones that look up, okay, what's next? How do I get it to my forward to execute it so we can score? You know, we try to do our triangles now and taking it down the sideline because we get in a cluster sometimes, and that's where our midfield, I'm like, they're like, what do we, you know, where do we go? What do we got to do? And that's where I think they've learned what we've got to do, and that's where Carson and Izzy, my wings, in that midfield, they take it down. Izzy, that girl finally knows her speed. I'm like, girl, come on, pick it up. And then Carson Jackson, she does an awesome job of getting back. That girl, you know, she hustles. She doesn't stop. And I'm very proud of her, too. She's definitely come a long way. But that's Carly Cruz and Jordan Morgan in that midfield, sending up to Maddie and Greta. And then Greta and Maddie, when they get caught in a pickle, you know, they've got to drop that back to them. And that's, we've got to figure out how to execute it. And I think they've done a well job at that. So
talk about your keeper, because I guess if everything goes well, keeper doesn't, hopefully won't have to face any shots in a perfect world.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because I want to talk about Becky Painter. So Becky has never played soccer before. She is an athlete. Last year was her first time ever playing. I'll be honest, I didn't know what to do with her. I was looking at her, you know, we were at first couple weeks. I'm like, this girl's an athlete. What do I do? What do I do? Becky put some gloves on and that. Oh, my God. That was the best decision I've made. She, you know, her first season, of course, she's going to be a shining star because she came in. We had no goalie. We lost our goalie. We didn't have anybody else that was really, you know, I needed the other girls on the field that had the potential to do it. But that's where Becky, this past season, I think she's realizing these next couple years how good she can be. She's comfortable now. She's starting to realize, hey, I've got to actually attack the ball, and I can't be afraid to hurt somebody else. She doesn't want to hurt anybody. I'm like, Becky, just go after that ball. That is your ball. When that gets in that 18 box, that's where you're all over it, girl. I'm very proud of her. So
it's so exciting to see Litchfield back in the sectional. I guess from your coaching philosophy, do you do a lot of opponent scouting, or is it more – we're going to do what we do, and that should be enough.
So it is more we're going to do what we're going to do in a way. But lucky for me, I ref soccer, mm-hmm. and I get to see our opponents. I get to see how they play. And a lot of them do play all, like, surrounding conference. They play on a select league together. So I know how they play, but I try not to worry about it. I don't say this team does this and that. I watch them. Yeah, whenever I get to catch a game, I'll go catch it. Yeah. But I don't have the time. I'm focused on my girls. So I'm constantly telling them, we know how they were last year. We know what girls they have. So we know what we've got to do. And that's where, it comes in. It is more, I try to focus on them because we already kind of know what to expect in a way.
And when you get into the sectional, no matter who the school is, they're going to be a quality opponent. You'll have St. Teresa coming up on Wednesday on your home field. And 2014 is the last time Litchfield won a sectional game. So that is something to aim for.
Now, it is something to aim for. And the thing is, I know my girls can do it. I know they can. But the thing is, I always tell them, you've got to want it. Mm-hmm. You can win any game you want. You really can. Yes, there's teams that their talent, they train all year long. They're good. But when your heart's not in it, you're not going to have it. And, I know that these girls, they have heart and passion, and I try to put mine out there too. I'm like, take what I got. I want to give them my passion. I want it to kind of spread through them. Mm-hmm. As long as their heart's in it, I tell them, I don't care if we win or lose, as long as you've given it your all. And that's what matters the most to me. We could lose 1-2-0. As long as they played their best, that's all that matters to me. So
you will play St. Teresa 6:30 Wednesday night at the Litchfield Sectional. Dominique Byatt, thank you so much for coming in this morning. Congratulations on the regional championship and best of luck.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. It's been awesome. I'm proud of my girls.
We're going to take a break. Sports Saturday back in a moment. Thanks to Dominique Byatt for coming in studio this morning, and good luck to Litchfield next week as they will play in the sectional semifinals against Decatur St. Teresa. And boy, I'm ready to play some soccer now after talking to Dominique. That was outstanding stuff from Dominique Byatt, the second-year Litchfield soccer head coach. The Carletonville Cavaliers getting set to play this morning. They will start at 10 o'clock, hosting their own regional. They will face Staunton. The winner of that game will move into that Litchfield sectional. And then at Warrensburg-Latham at 11 o'clock this morning, Pena will face host Warrensburg-Latham. And the winner of that game will also move into the Litchfield sectional, which is set to go next Wednesday at Litchfield High School. I think we have our buddy Dave Kane on the phone right now from the Springfield State Journal Register. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Hey, doing really good. Just had a really nice conversation with Dominique Byatt, the Litchfield soccer coach. And this is a busy time of the year, Dave. We got soccer postseason already underway, baseball and softball regional start next week, and track and field girls sectionals happened earlier in the week, boys sectionals right around the corner. And I really wanted to talk to you, Dave, about track and field, and specifically Carletonville. I know you were over at the Yokish Grandoni Invitational a few weeks ago, and you had a nice piece about Ken Garrison.
Yeah. It was funny just how that kind of worked out. Ken has been, certain people, you think about Carletonville and you associate it with certain, maybe certain coaches, and Ken is certainly one of those. I mean, especially track and field, but he's also been involved with the football program for a long time. But a couple of weeks ago, with the Yokish Grandoni, that was, as it turned out to be, Ken, and his team, that was their last, really their last meet, at that track for this spring. So it was kind of a special day, for the Cavaliers and for Ken. Carlinville, you know, won the boys title, which made it a little more extra special, for Coach Garrison. So it was, you know, it was just, I don't want to say happy ending because it wasn't the end of the end of the season, but you know, it sort of closed at least one chapter on his on a really great career that he's had.
No matter the sport, it's always nice to win your last home game or meet of the year.
Oh yeah, and that's you know, I think before it was called the Yokish Grandoni, it was maybe the, you know, the Carlinville co-ed invite or something like that, but Ken. Ken actually took the initiative to sort of rename the meet in honor of, you know, two guys that are very, very synonymous with track and field in the area, you know, that being Dave Yokish from Carlinville and Jerry Grandoni from Gillespie. So so I think it, even more than just the fact that it was their last home meet, that meet is very special for Ken Garrison because of, you know, the name that the meet carries.
You know, we spent a lot of time in the fall talking about, you know, in football, South Central, Sangamo, and we're seeing that spill over into the spring sports as well, as we've got potential showdowns coming up in multiple sports in the two conferences, and in the track and field realm, of course, on the girls' side, Pleasant Plains, really their boys and their girls at Pleasant Plains both have outstanding track teams once again.
Yes, just in, you know, I would say the last, you know, I guess you would say decade, the last about 10 years or so, Plains, track and field has really established itself as one of the best, you know, team-wise across the board, best programs kind of in the central part of the state. On the boys' side, Derek DeBar, who's a proud graduate of Litchfield High School. Derek, has been the boys' coach at Plains for a number of years now. Extremely dedicated, just passionate about track and field. To see him in action, it's just, it energizes you because he's so enthusiastic and so dedicated to the kids in the sport. And, yeah, they, Plains, I think just recently, you know, the Sangamo Conference and the Sangamon
County
meet are always the same week. And, you know, Plains won both of those, and the Plains girls, you know, won on their side too, both their conference and the county. And, a fellow named Rob Havens is the girls' coach at Plains, and he's developed, you know, kind of a similar program to the boys. They kind of, you know, they kind of, success kind of rubs off on each other, I think, a little bit.
And the South Central and Sangamo Conference is going to be well represented in the girls' sectionals coming up, or the girls' state tournament, I should say, coming up next week. And I suspect that the same is going to be true for the boys' track and field state tournament when that time comes around. It's just been a fantastic year for both of the conferences. And, Dave, we get baseball and softball postseason underway starting on Monday. And from a South Central perspective here, Carlinville baseball has had maybe the best year in their program history. And Hillsboro softball, just like their girls' basketball team, the outright conference champions.
Right. It's so neat to see, you know, what the Carlinville baseball program has done. And, you know, I know you've mentioned it a number of times. You know, Don Borgini, you know, we think of him, we associate him with football. You know, he was at Verdon and then Carlinville and Gillespie, and very dedicated football coach. But he also has a very strong baseball background. He was played in the minor leagues for a while as a pitcher. So he has a heck of a lot of knowledge to pass along there. And the Cavaliers have just really put things together this year. You know, the pitching, which is such a big part of the game, you know, obviously their number one ace, you know, Kyle Dixon was sidelined for quite a while with a shoulder problem. But several other guys, including Jake, you know, Ambuhl and several others, sort of picked up the slack pitching-wise. And I think maybe they've set a record, single-season record for wins, if I'm not mistaken, or very close to it. Yeah, so it's really exciting to see, you know, a school with an athletic tradition like Carlinville, kind of, I don't know, start sort of a new chapter, you know, with baseball here, and you hope, you know, you hope it's not just a 1 year thing. You hope maybe the younger players, they can kind of build on this. And you know, on the softball side, I was just talking to Brett Teakin yesterday on the phone, and of course they again won that showdown against Southwestern this past week. To win, you know, to run the table in the South Central, which is not easy to do in softball or any sport. And, you know, obviously they're very excited about the postseason. I think they play at the Gillespie Regional. And as Teak said, you know, potentially Gillespie at Gillespie, that's never going to be easy. So he's, you know, he's been around the block a few times. But, you know, looking down the road, we media types, we have the benefit. We can look ahead.
Yes, coaches we can.
Don't want to. But if things would fall into place, you could have a potential matchup at the Litchfield softball sectional, possibly for Tri-City against Hillsborough. And I don't have the bracket in front of me. I'm not sure if they would meet in a semifinal or in a sectional final. But it would be just two outstanding programs. You know, up this way, Tri-City, you know, they've just had a lot of success over the years. Between Tri-City and Williamsville up in this area, they've just been outstanding. And, but they did, Hillsborough and Tri-City did meet one time this year at a event at UIS. And I think, Tri-City came out on top in that one. But I know the Hilltoppers would love to get another shot at the Tornadoes. And, but a long way to go before that can happen. They both got to get through their regionals first.
They do, Dave. And this Tri-City team, I mean, they came into the year with high expectations, and they really have it. They have lived up and maybe even exceeded those in a lot of ways.
Well, yes. And in fact, this weekend, I don't know if you saw it, Tri-City is playing in a special event up in the Chicago area with some really, really outstanding teams. And I believe it was yesterday or last night, Tri-City knocked off Taylor Ridge Rockridge,
right,
who is, I think, the defending state champion. So, you know, to be in that environment, you know, and to pull off a win like that, that has to give Tri-City a boost, you know, going into the postseason. I'm sure that was kind of, as they say, a postseason atmosphere up there. And, you know, the thing is with Tri-City, you know, it's just east of Springfield. And they co-op with Niantic, Sangamon Valley. They call themselves TCSV, and they get their share of you know, some athletic talent from over at Sangamon Valley as well. And I'm sure that's been a boost for the Tornadoes program, or just to give them a little more depth each year. So yeah, they've been on quite a run in recent years.
This Litchfield sectional has the potential, if everything works out seed wise, to be one of the best in the entire state. It would be Tri-City against Hillsborough in the sectional semifinal if the seeds held. And then on the top half of the bracket, you would have Southwestern taking on Porta if everything held together seed-wise. Of course, Williamsville will have a lot to say about Porta getting there in the Pittsfield Regional. But that is, I mean, you talk about a loaded sectional. Southwestern's only lost twice all year. We know what Hillsborough is, we know what Tri-City is, and we know what Williamsville has been over the years, and Porta's having a great year.
Yes, and Porta just this past week, for the first time, I guess maybe in their school history, won the Sangamo Conference softball title outright. They went unbeaten, and we were scrambling, you know, when that did happen. You know, Williamsville this year, they've had such a run, and last year they finished third at state. They did lose a lot of seniors, and they still continue to play a tough schedule. So their overall record, they are around 500. They're still dangerous. Don't underestimate the Bullets. But yeah, Porta has had an outstanding year. They won the Sangamo Conference for the first time, you know, in their history, really. Williamsville had won a bunch in a row. So again, on paper, you have the makings of a really outstanding, you know, sectional softball tournament down there at Litchfield. I guess it would be the week after next. And, you know, we love to see upsets because that's what sports is all about. You never know what's going to happen. But at the same time, it's kind of fun to think about if all of those top-seeded teams all make it through and then convene,
right,
convene down at Litchfield, it causes a lot of anticipation.
Well, you're exactly right there. We all love the upset, like in the NCAA tournament in the first round, but nobody wants to see George Mason in the Final Four.
That's it. Yeah, it's kind of like we're never satisfied. Well, we'd like to see this, but I don't know if I can get as excited about, like you say, a George Mason or whatever. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Dave, what else will you be looking for in the baseball and the softball postseason? Any specific regional, any specific team we haven't talked about, the catcher? I know the Plains baseball team, obviously, probably primed for a deep run.
Well, yeah, up this way, I say, you know, Springfield area. Yeah, on the baseball side, Plains, you know, they're always there, always strong. And Williamsville baseball, Williamsville has had a bit of a rebuild this year, but they've, you know, I can't remember if they have actually clinched the Sangamo already or not. North Mac has had a very solid year. So they're a team, I think, you know, they're baseball wise, they are a team to look out for. And a little bit north of here, and Mount Pulaski, which we associate with basketball, they would be class 1A. Pulaski has had an exceptional year. They're, I think, 20-4 now. First time they've won that many games in over a decade. So on the small school 1A side, Mount Pulaski, Nokomis, class 1A. What a shock. Brian Pisco has another good baseball team. But they, they got off to a slow start, sort of like boys basketball at Nokomis. But the Redskins have really come on, and, they've developed a really solid pitching group between Sobel and several of the other kids. So, I hate to say it's a lot of the usual suspects, but that kind of reflects, some of these programs and how good they are every year.
And the consistency of the program, Dave, and that, I think it's harder to be consistent in baseball specifically just because are you going to have the pitching year after year, and yet year after year we see a number of these schools that come up with the pitchers.
Right, and I think part of it is these last couple of years, the pitch count rule, where even more so out of necessity, coaches, have to maybe develop a few more capable pitchers. Hey, can you just give us an inning or two and throw some strikes? So I think that's been a factor too. Pleasant Plains is an example. Early in the season, Dave Greer, the coach, it wasn't uncommon to see them use 5 or 6 pitchers in a game, even though they had the game well in hand. So, yeah, you're right. The quality programs, coaches know that they have to develop quite a few, reliable arms. One other team I kind of neglected to mention on the baseball side, Class 1A, is Jacksonville Rout. They've been very strong these last few years. They haven't quite made it to state. They've had a few injury issues this year, but Rout is not afraid to play anybody. They play 2A and 3A teams on a consistent basis. So, I wouldn't be surprised to see Rout potentially make a run in class 1A.
It's going to be fun to see how it all plays out. Dave Kane with the Springfield State Journal Register. Always appreciate your knowledge, sir. Thanks for some time today.
Hey, Tim. Thanks a lot. Listening to your show every morning, I about 9 o'clock, I say, I got to get it over on 106 here and see what the guys are talking about. I always enjoy it, and it's always an honor to be able to talk with you.
Well, thank you very much, Dave, and we'll see you down the road, sir.
Okay. See you, Tim.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Dave Kane from the State Journal Register. And if you're on the Twitter, Dave Kane is a must-follow. You got to follow Dave Kane. We always call him our small school guru. He is on top of it. Always knows exactly what's going on and what to watch for, and writes beautiful, beautiful pieces in the Springfield State Journal Register. We need to get to a break. When we come back, we had a chance yesterday to catch up with Carlinville coach Tim Johnson as his Cavaliers getting set to play in the regional championship at the top of the hour. We will bring you that conversation when Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
We're happy to be joined now by Carlinville girls soccer coach Tim Johnson as the Cavaliers getting set to take on Staunton in a regional championship game this morning. And Tim, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Well, you've reached regional championship day, and boy, when you start the season, all the work that goes in, you love to be in this spot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, we don't sugarcoat things. We talk about this time of year being the important time of the year straight from the beginning. So first day of practice, one of the things we said was, we are planning to be at our best when the postseason comes, and I think we're pretty darn close to that right now.
And whenever you lay those expectations out early, boy, when you get to this point now, the kids are like, well, heck, this is what we've been putting the time in for.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to see the future and see how things are going to pan out and how development is going to go, but, this group of girls, they're great. From day one, a whole new coaching staff of myself and Jason Crowell and John Overticchio and Ashley Campbell, they they welcomed us in real easy, and it was a good transition. You know, they've had great coaches in years past, and we're happy to be coaching them now.
And when you take over a program like Carmelville, there's tradition there and there's expectation there, Tim.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I would say expectations are always high, and tradition is great here in Carmelville. You know, I wasn't born and raised here, but this is my home now. I love it here. I love the school. I love the town, and I love coaching. I really do.
Your regional semifinal game was interesting. Obviously, it's a postseason game, win or go home, but it was also for the conference championship for you guys.
Yeah, it was. And it was against a great team in Southwestern. You know, their record may not have shown how good they actually are, but you know, they're another team like us where they were much better at this point of the year than they were at the beginning. And really, from the conference versus postseason standpoint, and one of our season goals was to kind of get over that last little hump of conference and getting the title. But when it got down to the point where we were actually playing our postseason game as a conference game as well, we kind of pushed the conference thoughts to the side and said, if we stick to our postseason goals, then the conference will take care of itself, and it did.
That's really it's an odd spot to be in. Is that something you had encountered before in your coaching career, or was that a first-timer?
Not exactly like this. I think the only thing that would have been close to that would have been a handful of years ago for the boys' side. We had a game get canceled, and I think it was the opposite. We actually didn't reschedule because we were already locked into maybe the third spot or second spot in conference, and we couldn't win it. So we've had games removed and not played them, but we've never had to play one during the postseason.
How challenging was this year from a weather perspective? We know that for the baseball and the softball, it was a mess. And soccer, you ran into similar problems.
Oh, yeah. To say problems is probably the best way to put it, but, boy, it's so much more. You know, it's not just not being able to play, which is probably the biggest thing, where we want to be able to get out there. We want to be able to play. You know, the girls want to play. The parents want to see the girls play. The fans want to see the team play. But on top of that, it's just, you know, you go through the hard practices, the early starts, the getting ready for the games, and then having to make those last-second decisions. And some days it was even the weather was great outside, but every piece of grass in Macoupin County or even in central Illinois was standing water. And even though it was 70 and sunny, we still couldn't play. It was frustrating, but we found a way through it.
I remember talking to Don Borgini a few weeks ago, and he's spearheading the turf project for Carlin Vernal. I told him, Don, you couldn't have picked a better time to be proposing something like that. And if that goes through, boy, that's going to help the soccer program.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, Don is doing a great job with that. I'm on that committee myself, but I definitely don't have the work ethic involved in it that Don does. We're very thankful to have him doing that. And the soccer program is 100% on board. And boy, we talk about it at least once a week. You know, in 2 years from now, if we can have that turf field, we wouldn't have a lot of these weather issues.
Yeah, it would just simplify everyone's lives at Carlinville. There's no question about that. And you guys put a quality product on the field year after year. Who have been some of your key contributors this season?
This year, you know, it's very hard to just single out one person. One of the great things about this team. Is that we have so much depth, and we're the easiest way to put it is we're pretty universal.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually crunching some numbers the other day, just in our conference season, and we scored 32 goals in the conference, and we actually only gave up two. But within those 32 goals, we had 14 different people score those 32. So we're definitely very universal. But you know, if you go up and down the middle of our field, starting with Sarah Deneve in goal, she has been great. And Lexi Eaglehoff is our center back right now, and that's a new position for her, and she's really grown into that position. She plays it great, and in front of her we've got Gracie Reels, who is a shutdown defender, and Skylar Nickel is in the middle of the field with Gabby Marcuri. They do great things, along with Rory Drew, who's putting the ball in the net, and Boy, I could name off all 25 girls and say positive things about them. They're just doing a great job.
And Rory Drew's going to be real busy because she's hopefully going to keep playing soccer here for the next several weeks, and then she's got some track and field stuff to do too.
Yep. We've been talking about that all week. You know, she broke her own school record last week in the 400, getting that, and that was a huge goal for her to get under a minute. We're so proud of her to see that, and a lot of the team and coaches went out last night at a kind of a nasty weather type sectional for and to watch her win the 400 at the sectional and then turn around and win the 200. Oh man, it's fun to watch.
And you know, that's one thing Carlinville has been known for as long as I can remember. Boys, girls, doesn't matter. Athletes across the board.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, at a school, I grew up at a school district that was a lot bigger than this, and at a school of our size, of give or take, you know, about, you just say about 400 kids, in order for us to have so much success in all the sports like we do, we have to have athletes and we have to have multi-sport athletes, and we have both. And the icing on the cake is, you know, 99% of these kids are great character kids, and they're going to grow up to be great adults as well. It's a great district. It's a great town, and I work with a lot of great people. I love it here.
And you've got a great team this year. And, Tim, I know I saw a couple times this year where no shots on goal, maybe one shot on goal, and very few corner kicks. So when something like that develops in a game, obviously your defense is clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, they are. And I would say that's a main focus of mine as a coach. I was a defender when I played, and that's a big a focus of mine. A lot of times we're a handful of games into the season. We haven't even really worked on much offensive patterns or strategies. We just stay focused on our defense. And we found the girls we wanted back there pretty early, and it took a little bit to get the confidence and get everything figured out. But boy, when they're playing well like they have been, they're a lockdown defense. It's very, very fun to see.
Your opponent today in the regional championship, another South Central foe in the Staunton Bulldogs. Now, you played them basically a month ago and won 3-0. I would imagine they're a better team now, but so are you guys.
Yeah, I would agree. That's very accurate. You know, Staunton is a team that they definitely do not give up. I mean, watching them play in the regional semi the other day against Hillsboro, a good Hillsboro team, you know, they went down early, but they didn't give up. They turned around the second half and got two quick goals and held on to it. They're a good team. They challenged us when we played them a month ago. It was a close game at halftime, and even the scoreline would probably show that the game was closer than you think. And that was a game where we needed some help from our depth, and I believe all three goals in that game were by substitutes. So the expectation for us is to focus on our game and go out there and, you know, plain and simple, put the ball in the net and move on to the next round.
Tim Johnson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time today, and good luck today, sir, against Staunton.
Hey, thank you, Tim.
That was Tim Johnson, the Carlinville soccer head coach, as they are just about set to go at Carlinville today for that 1A regional final, Carlinville and Staunton. The winner will be into the Litchfield sectional on Wednesday afternoon. And Tim did want to add one more thing, that they are working on becoming just Carlinville soccer, not boys soccer, not girls soccer, just Carlinville soccer. And he really thinks that is going to help them kind of just grow the overall support of the program. Remember, the Southwestern boys soccer team also went perfect in South Central play this year. So Carlinville soccer goes 16-0 in the South Central Conference. They scored a total of 73 goals and allowed just 8. The boys gave up 6. The Carlinville girls team gave up just 2 goals in South Central play all year long. We have the potential for a South Central flavored Litchfield sectional. The Purple Panthers are already in. Carlinville and Pena could both punch their sectional tickets coming up today. Pena will play Warrensburg-Latham. That match will begin at 11 o'clock in Warrensburg-Latham. Some other soccer action today. Regional championship play at Riverton. Williamsville will face Springfield Lutheran. That's an 11 o'clock start. The winner of that game will advance to the Bloomington Central Catholic sectional to face Central Catholic. That'll be a Tuesday sectional semifinal for the winner of Williamsville and Lutheran. And Trenton, Westland, and Columbia, they get to head down to Anna Jonesboro to play each other in that regional final. That match will begin at 1 o'clock today. Quick note that the Ish Smith Classic in Greenville, that has been canceled for today. The 11th annual Ish Smith Baseball Classic in Greenville has been canceled for today. Wall-to-wall baseball and softball regional coverage for you beginning next week. You can find our entire broadcast schedule online at WQSMIRadio.com. Thanks to Dominique Byatt, the Litchfield girls soccer coach, for coming in studio this morning. Congratulations to the Purple Panthers on their regional championship. Thanks to Dave Kane for joining us this morning as well. And thanks to Tim Johnson, and good luck to the Lady Cavaliers as they take on the Staunton Bulldogs today in the 1A regional final. For Levi Ubelt, I am Tim Mai. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.